Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including something that is going to take Betty Rock by surprise. She doesn't know that we're going to do this.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no one does, I guess. I didn't tell anybody. It's not a big deal. It's something you do all the time and you're good at. But before we get to that, let's get into some of the new stuff.
Why would you say that?
Oh, did I not just do it?
Make her wait?
Oh, because I want to give you time to prepare.
I'd rather just know now.
Watch him forget that. He's going to talk about
all right, this. All right. Well, we need you to name a cat for us on the spot on the Aftercast.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, yeah, now you don't want to do it. See, this is why I don't tell her things, man.
But I needed to know.
Okay, you needed to know? All right, well.
You needed to know that you were going to do something that you usually just do on the spot.
Okay, we're just going to do this now instead. Okay, so now this is from Jensen. Now, Jensen has sent us a couple cats recently.
What's Jensen doing? Jeez.
That's what I think. I think Jensen is abducting neighborhood cats and like just taking pictures and like, this is my cat. Do a name for us. Any chance you can name my mom's kitten in the Aftercast?
Oh.
The kitten is so cute, dark gray with jet black spikes, stripes. This Jensen never likes human names, and neither does the mom. So no human names for this one, Rock, okay?
Oh, jeez.
It is adorable, I'll tell you.
So it's black with white stripes?
Well, you'll see in a minute. No, it's dark gray with jet black stripes.
Ooh. Oh.
Okay, so.
What a cool way to describe a color, jet black.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready, Rock?
Not really.
We are. We should have waited.
To be honest, it's a weird week because she's babysitting dogs.
That have
human names.
That's so true. This is weird headspace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if she can find her way into a unique non-human name.
All of a sudden, I'm not feeling good about this. Give me that back. We're gonna wait. No. Okay. All right.
Now let's go.
All right. Let's go. Let's see. I mean, is it a boy
or a girl?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Ooh, that makes it tough.
I know that does make it tough. So, but no boy name or no human name. So it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Name that cat.
Oh my goodness.
It is pretty cute.
This kitten is so cute. No human names. Well, I don't know what. It's a boy or a girl.
I know.
Perfect.
Well, just look at it. What are you feeling? This is the longest you've ever taken to name a cat right now.
Sprinkles.
Okay. All right.
You don't like it. What would you name it?
Because you always want to outdo me.
So what would you name it?
I don't do this.
Let me see.
I mean, like, if they would have gone with human names, Liam would have been great because it's a gray cat out of the gray, your favorite wolf movie.
Oh,
see? You call him Shadow.
Shadow, yeah.
Shadow is kind of...
That could go either way.
Okay. Yeah.
Boy or girl.
I was thinking something like, because it's black and gray, like it could be some kind of popular art... actor or actress from back in the day.
Oh, like black and white.
You know, like
yeah.
Jimmy Stewart. But
I
then
know.
Jimmy and Stewart are both
and
human
no
names.
And no human names. Ansel Adams did a lot of gray and black and white photographs.
Yeah.
Kind
of
looks
good.
Like
Cary
mold.
Grant.
Monochrome. Call it mold. Mold is good. Moldy.
Mold?
Moldy.
That's terrible.
Cheese bread.
Sorry.
Let's just go with Taylor, because Taylor can be boy or girl.
But that's a human name.
Doesn't matter, boy or girl. They don't like human names.
Then Sprinkles it is.
All right. You know what? When we went did that little trip, Sprinkles looked
a lot
better. But Sprinkles sounds like a girl's name. So what if it's a boy? I don't know.
Well, they should have told me.
I say Sprinkles in a tough way. It's Sprinkles.
I know. I'm just...
Then you do it.
Cutie Pie. Done.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
You wouldn't want to be a boy being named Cutie Pie.
That was my nickname. I was Cutie Pie.
Sure.
Boy, yeah, that's a tough one today. So I don't know that it landed.
But who's to say how many cats What's-His-Face actually has?
Jensen,
I feel like is like going to a pound and taking.
We're gonna have to be done with Jensen's cats. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you that right now, officially.
Jensen, at some point you got to stop getting all the cats.
Yeah. All right. So,
stopping with Sprinkles.
Here's something that's kind of interesting. You know, like packing peanuts and all the styrofoam packing. Mm-hmm. It's bad for the environment. It takes decades to break down. Apparently, mm-hmm. There was a German researcher that was in a movie theater having a box of popcorn, and he realized that the popcorn is kind of the same consistency of that styrofoam packing. So he decided to see what they could do with this, and they're starting to make packaging out of popcorn.
Actual popcorn,
mm-hmm. Like different varieties of the corn.
Oh, that would be amazing. So though. It's you open your package.
Yeah.
And
oh, how great popcorn would that be?
No.
Yeah, because it's basically, it's not like oily. You don't put butter or anything on it. And so it has the same texture, consistency, and it's light. And it doesn't hurt the environment. See, that's the big thing.
What if someone has a corn allergy?
Oh, I'm so tired of having to think of everybody's thing.
I'm sensitive to corn.
Yeah, you could not bring a product to market anymore. It's a miracle anything gets made because everybody has an issue.
Will it have like little kernels in it and stuff?
No, I mean it's popped, so it's like you're not eating it. And I guess it can be molded into different shapes, just like the regular plastic. You'd use it as plastic as packing peanuts. You mm-hmm. can mold it because you like to save the environment. You always are like trying to save trees.
No, I think it's great. I'm just thinking of the others that it may not work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't ever think of others, so that's my problem.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Not really. I'm pretty happy. makes your life
There's
easier.
No problem there.
Coming from the guy who takes rants to a whole new extreme every day.
I know. All right, what do you got for least of these?
Well, you are I don't think you're a fan. I think your family is of the show Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Oh.
I've never seen it, but it's like supposed to be kind of like Glee, right?
It is without a doubt the worst show I've ever seen. Like, do you like it, Gavin?
No, I've never actually watched it, but okay. I literally think you talked about it. And that deterred me from even trying.
Good. Then I did you a favor. The concept is great. Like, it's a great concept. So she has a father that was dying, you know, so it's kind of heavy, and he can't speak. But there's something about, like, these songs that are going on in his head she can hear. And then it comes to life, and she's singing, whoever's involved in the thing. She can hear people's thoughts or what they're going through in song, basically. So it's an interesting concept. But what happens is you've got a bunch of these people on these shows that aren't good singers. We've got Mary Steenburgen, who is on it. She remember the mom in Elf?
Yeah.
And at the end, she's singing
she
so badly.
Yeah,
horrible. And so she's in this thing trying to sing songs. Like, the idea is really good. It's the execution that's so bad on it. And, like, all these pop songs, not sung as pop songs or rock songs, they're sung. Kind of that was the problem with Glee. Glee was horrible. Like, Glee took, like, Don't Stop Believin', and they just murdered it with, like, kids singing it like you would in choir.
It.
It's horrible. No!
They did. They loved it.
They shouldn't have.
Well, here's the thing. This show, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, is being canceled after two seasons.
Oh, that's it? They only had two seasons?
Two seasons.
Wow, that was about too many.
But the creator doesn't think it should be canceled.
They never do.
And so he took to Twitter.
Just take it like a man, dude. Everybody gets their show canceled. I'll get canceled
someday.
Seems
like the industry. Like, just roll on to the next thing.
Well, he took to Twitter and he let all the fans know that it was being canceled, but he thought it wasn't time just yet. So he asked everyone to get on board and start with the hashtag Save Zoe's Playlist.
Oh, weak sauce.
And Well, it's a good thing that he did it because it did become Twitter's number one trending topic worldwide recently.
See, when things like that happen, when you try to save your own project, I don't like that. I don't have respect for that. But like, if just a group of fans got together and were like, we love this and we don't want it to go away, and they did it organically, then that's different. Like, I get that. This guy's trying to keep his paycheck, you know? And it's just, that's so icky to me personally.
What if he actually enjoys writing the scripts?
Well, he does. Yeah, he enjoys like writing the scripts and then cashing the checks. Absolutely, he does. He believes in the project. I get it. I've had TV projects that died before, and it's frustrating. But you just take it. You know, it's just done.
But if you had requested it and it had become the number one trending topic on Twitter and it got you somewhere, wouldn't you have been glad that you did it?
No, I wouldn't have done it in the first place. It's kind of like Arrested Development that went through that with them. The show got canceled and then fans wanted it back and then they helped lobby to get it back for a little bit, and then I think it went to Netflix.
They were disappointed.
Yeah, I've heard the other subsequent seasons got really. They just weren't as good. I I've watched it, and I'm on season 5 or whatever, and it's interesting that there was a definite shift where they used to have Ron Howard do the little voiceover parts, and it would help explain, because there's a lot of callbacks to things, so they had to explain things quickly, and they did it so great. So the later episodes, it seems like there's so much of that. There's so much explaining, and they spend so much of their time going back. It's very like, okay, I'm just done. I'm out. Mm-hmm. So I pulled the ripcord on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you're watching on Netflix right now that you're like, oh, okay, this is something I really like?
It's a movie though. I watched Home. I think it's so
really?
Cute.
Yeah.
That little alien. What do they call him? It's something like. Ugh, or something like that, because everybody, every time they see him, they're like, ugh. And so that's what he thinks his name is, and his best friend's name is Kyle, but Kyle doesn't want to be his best friend.
Oh.
And it's so cute, and there's a little cat in there. And
nice.
I really liked it.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. But I tried to get into The Crown.
Yeah, I couldn't either. Yeah. I watched one episode.
I think I like it. I just think I need to watch it with others.
Yeah. Yeah, some shows are better to talk about with people.
Yeah, or follow along with someone else.
Yeah, that glass blowing show I was watching on Netflix. I'm really sad that that's gone away.
Really,
I did. I liked it. Blown away. And then they only did two seasons of that. There's been a few shows I've liked that they've only done like one or two seasons and then it went away. And then other shows, you're like, how is this at 7 seasons, you know?
Yeah, like Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, no.
17
just
seasons.
Stop.
Yeah, as enough.
Just stop.
When they all die in the plane crash, that should have been it. Like, just done. Wrap it at that point. Birthdays, I guess.
Yes, we've got one. It's a little bit late. A birthday that was celebrated for Nora yesterday.
Happy
from
birthday.
Chloe.
Yay, Nora.
Chloe wants to wish Nora a happy birthday. Said, I know this is late, but Nora was just born. She is 9 pounds, 9 ounces.
Wow.
I love her so much. She is my eighth sibling.
Oh, wow.
It's
a lot.
Question. In your opinion, we're going into the deep end. What's the strongest evidence of God?
Oh, that's interesting. Because you could go very physical in the sense of, because I know science debates the existence of God. And for me, like, I don't doubt the existence of God based on just the complexity of our human body, the complexity of the universe, the way the world works, gravity, like just all of those things. It just seems too thought out to just be random and like everything
just a big
was
bang.
Yeah, like it all just formulated just right. Like, so, and I understand that people have a problem believing in a creator God. So I understand that, because to them that sounds just as far fetched. But just that alone from the physical side. But then I think from the other side, when you know you live in this broken, fallen, messed up world, when you see, God in action and moving in people's hearts where they wouldn't have to, you know, and them thinking of other people and them, you know, caring. I think that's where I see God. Because a lot of times, I think Brant Hansen one time was talking about Cure International, and he made the analogy of like, when you see like deformed babies, people would say, well, where's your God now? Because you're like, yeah, that's really a thing where it messes with people thinking like, oh, well, why would God allow this to happen? But mm-hmm. then his whole take was when you watch people dedicate their lives to helping other people and helping these children, that's where God is. You know, mm-hmm. he's right there in that through people doing the good work. And so I think that was actually an analogy that I kind of took away from that that's applicable in this situation. Mm-hmm. What about you, Rock?
I would also say the same thing. I like how you can get out into nature and you can see how animals just automatically know how to take care of themselves. And like...
Better than we do.
Yeah. But how is that even possible? Right. You know, I don't think that's just, it's a happenstance. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen that way. The fact that we're floating in a huge black hole around a sun that keeps things going.
Like, and tilted just right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. how does that happen? And then also just the human body, like that we can walk around wherever we want. And as long as we provide ourselves with water and food and sleep,
yeah.
we're good. Yeah. We don't have to have like, I don't know how to explain it, but we don't have to be hooked to a machine or anything. Like we can walk around freely and our bodies know how to take care of us.
I think gravity is the really big thing that is perplexing yeah. to me because if you think about it, you've got this ball, unless you're a flat earther, okay, whatever, but you've got this ball. And at some point in time, like it would make sense if you're standing on the top of the world, it makes perfect sense that you would be standing upright and stuff like that. Mm. But the more you slide down that ball, the fact that you're standing vertically, you know,
it doesn't
on
change.
The side,
like
right.
if I'm just walking along, if I like walk the entire earth,
yeah.
which I don't think you can do. If you did that, you would never think to yourself, oh man, I feel like
I'm sideways.
I feel like I'm going downhill.
Yeah.
Like,
or no, yeah. you get the South Pole, you're upside, technically yeah. you're upside down. And it's,
yeah.
you're
what
not upside
that?
Down.
How does that work?
I know. Again, these are the big questions in life that just baffle me.
I wonder if heaven's going to be flat.
You know what? I think it will be.
I think so too.
I think God needed a change.
Yeah. It's a new heaven and like, might as
yeah,
well
and will they flatten out the new earth? That'd be interesting too. So.
I hope so.
Gavin, what about you?
I think I go back to what you were saying where it's like, I had a friend when I was in like ninth grade when I had no ability to counter argue with people who were like, why is it, you know, faith
yeah, apologetics.
Yeah, I just like had no ability to do that. But he was always talking about how he's like, oh, there's string theory and this is how the world came from. And then I'm, you know, every time I'm asking like, well, where did that come from? He'd always have just some weird answer.
Right.
But I legitimately think that there's no way to get back to a scientific reasoning for absolute nothing.
Yeah.
And then something like, I just, I don't think there's a way to argue that. Again, I don't do enough research to, you know, have a very knowledgeable argument on that, but I just genuinely can't think of a good reason. And I'm maybe that's a little lazy.
It's that old example of the scientist and God. A scientist comes up to God and says, I know that you have created life. You know, you formed it through the dust, you know, as it says in the Bible. And so the scientist says, we have learned to create life as well. So we are equal to you. So we have created life in this test tube. And God says, well, how did you do it? And he says, well, we took this the dust and we did this. And he goes, well, make your own dust. You know, so it's like the dust had to come from somewhere, you know, so we think we're awesome and we've got all this dialed in, but there's something before us, during us, and that will extend. Well, I guess like wouldn't extend long past us because of eternity, but it is everlasting.
And I think, too, that some people have come up with like, you know, the Big Bang Theory or whatever else. Because they can't get past, and I understand, like, why bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of us have, at some point in our lives, maybe once or multiple times, deal with that issue. But I have heard, too, why don't we think about why do good things happen?
Right. Why does anything good happen in
right.
a world where if you don't have some sort of moral compass, then it would be like chaos, like even in the animal kingdom, like, okay, I need to eat today. Let me just go eat that person, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Like, so,
or I don't like them. Let me just kill them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time in the animal kingdom. And sadly we do it here, but so yeah, you're right. Without any sort of that or any sort of, God narrative in this place would be a complete disaster.
Betty would thrive in that world.
Oh, she would. Yeah, she would. She would be like the queen of the post-apocalypse.
Oh, wow. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Wow. I just think it's people that are trying to get control, and I understand that we want control of our life, of our future. But I think the people that come up with the ideas of evolution or reincarnation, things like that. It's them trying to grasp for control, because if they can explain it, then they have control over it. And if they can't, then that means that there is a God. Then you're going to have to delve into why are things the way that they are. And some people just don't want to deal with that.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's harder to be a believer and deal with the bad things in life, you know, because if you truly believe in the omnipotence of God, why would he not change things, you know, and why would he not let, like, answer silly, simple, easy prayers that aren't going to really affect anything? Why not that, you know, or why, you know, a child is suffering and dying from cancer. Why not heal that child? Yes, they're going to die eventually anyway, because we all do, but why not? Why take them from their family so early?
The idea of, like, picking and choosing is a hard one, because when I sit in my life and someone's like, oh, man, like, I think I'm blessed because of this. Well, I'm like, well, or I think God chose to bless me through this. I'm like, well, then he didn't choose to bless somebody else.
Right.
So I don't know. That's just
But I think that's where, people, a lot of times think faith is a cop-out, but that's where I think it's harder. Because if you believe in the power of God to heal, but then he doesn't, what do you do with that? You know, that's where you have to, that's where your faith comes in. That's where you have to believe in a bigger purpose. That's where you have to believe that things don't work the way you think they should work, and you have to be okay with that.
And
that's
not
easy.
He's still good.
Yeah, and seeing God as good in the midst of a lot of the bad is really hard. If you're a believer, I think it's harder.
I think, too, that it's all about your perspective, because if you have a earthly perspective, things that don't work out here on earth seem more devastating.
Right.
But if you have a heavenly perspective, you realize, hey, this isn't where I'm meant to be. Eventually, everything is going to work together for good, because once we get to heaven, there is no more pain, no more tears, and you can be around those that you love. So, yes, those bad things are going to happen here on earth, but all in all, you know, but it's not going to end that way.
I've always wondered about that, too, because I know I've heard different theories about, like, the end, and, like, God's going to show you, you know, at the judgment, like, all the things that you did wrong or that you didn't, the opportunities you missed. And, you know, and I guess in that moment you would feel sorrow, grief, sadness,
but
remorse.
Then
but then supposedly after, everyone says, well, but then it's just a big party. And, like, you're just like, so you don't worry about it ever again.
Like, you embrace forgiveness.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that, because, I mean, it says once you ask for forgiveness, it's forgotten. So why would he be... I don't think that's true. Like, he's keeping a running list of all the things you've done wrong so he can bring it up when you're done.
Yeah, well, that's what the judgment is. The judgment is standing in front of God and having your life judged, you know, and did it amount to what it was supposed to? And did you do, you know, I mean, obviously the salvation is the thing. I mean, I've heard different theories on it. And at the end of the day, none of us know.
Yeah, but when it says that when we're saved, we're clothed in his righteousness.
Right.
So God sees us as he looks at Jesus.
And he chooses to remember our sins no more, east
to
west, all that.
So then I wouldn't think.
I don't know.
It's a hard
But then you have the story of, like, in heaven and hell, the rich young ruler in hell, and then he could see him. Because then I'm like, well, wait, like, if you didn't tell somebody about Jesus, are you going to spend your eternity, or is there a moment where you're like, oh my goodness, I could have altered that for that person and I didn't, and then you carry that? Or is that not going to be a thing, you know? So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'll let you know how it works out.
What?
Yeah. If they let me talk to you, Rock.
Wait!
Down there.
Okay, so this is going to get brought up. If God is going to bring up things you've done wrong, he's going to bring up all these lame jokes that you thought were so funny.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for your Aftercast today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.